Blog Talk Radio.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruption. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from the Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on Detroit from 29 District. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on the rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.
Hello, welcome to Provocative Thought, intimately known as PT, striving to awaken those who are stimulate those who are awakened, feed those who are starving, nurture those who seek to know. I am your host, Carlton Steed, a self-proclaimed student in the search, discovery, revelation of life First, I'd like to thank Retalk Productions for allowing me to host this show. I'd also like to thank Creator for allowing me to be you. You can contact the show by dialing 516-531-9540. Please, press the number 1 to speak. You, the show by dialing 516-531-9540. Please, press the number 1 to speak. You can reach us on the internet at www.blogtalkradio.com. Go to search. Type in Retalk Productions. Listen to the show live. You can also contact us on Facebook at Provocative Thought PT Community. Foundation. Tonight's topic, critical race theory. Why do people support and oppose critical race theory? For the most part, I will not include sex, gender, in the discussion of critical race theory because sex or gender have nothing to do with race, thus making it a very different and separate discussion. From the Legal Defense Fund, critical race theory, or CRT as they call it, is an academic and legal framework that denotes that systemic racism is part of American society, from education and housing, employment, healthcare. Critical race theory recognizes that racism is more than the result of individual bias, prejudices, right? That is embedded in the laws, policies, institutions that uphold and reproduce racial inequalities, right? Inequity, right? According to CRT, societal issues like Black Americans' higher mortality rate, death rate, outsized or disproportionate exposure to police violence, school-to-prison pipeline, denial of affordable housing, and the death rates of Black women in childbirth are not unrelated anomalies. These things are not just things that just happen to occur, right? So, the common denominator in Black Americans' higher mortality rate of outsized exposure to police violence, school-to-prison pipeline, denial of affordable housing, and the death rates of Black women in childbirth are not unrelated anomalies. And the common denominator is racism in America, according to theory on racial, critical race theory, right? It would be, before we get started, I want to say we vote affirmative action. I was talking to a friend about it. Under the disguise of equality for all students, alluding that affirmative action actually discriminated against other qualified. All students need to qualify for admission into colleges. May I suggest, people, as I said before, build your own institutions of higher learning. It would be in the best interest of Black people if they united and began building their own institutions of higher learning, commerce, and political engines. Invest in yourself. Do for yourself. That is what is holding us back. Racism didn't stop Black people from making all those wonderful inventions we enjoy today. It didn't stop us from thinking, and now we need to manifest our thoughts and visions. It is more than possible and way past time to excel. What are we waiting for? If Black people want Black people to analyze, critique, and understand racism in America or the world, for that matter, teach them what you want them to know. We have the collective resources. Black people's spending power in the U.S. is expected to hit $1.8 trillion by 2024. Do I have to say message? Or I don't know. You know what? Come on now. You know, just throwing money out the window? What are we doing? From crossingthedivide.org, say critical race theory, they say its roots in the academic movement of the civil rights scholars that critically examine laws and legislation and how they intersect with race issues. Currently, much of the controversy surrounding CRT goes beyond its validity as a concept, but rather schools in the United States should teach it to young students. Opponents of CRT claim that its central tenets are factually wrong and only divide the country, only divide the already divided country, right? Must be talking, they must be saying that. Our proponents believe it is an essential part of historically aware education. Core tenets of CRT, critical race theory, from the American Bar Association, Purdue University, and Britannica. The belief that race is a culturally invented category used to oppress people of color. As documented, the law and legal institutions in the United States are inherently racist insofar as they function to create and maintain social, political, and economic inequities between white and non-white people. White supremacy, right? Rejection of popular understandings about racism, such as arguments that confine racism to a few bad apples, right? So they reject it. Oh, it's just a few bad apples. I don't think a few bad apples either. CRT recognizes that racism is codified in law, embedded in structures, and woven into public policy. CRT rejects claims of mediocrity or colorblindness. No such thing as colorblind unless you are actually colorblind. Everybody sees color. All right? Police want to ask you, come up to you and say what color shirt somebody had on, you're going to tell them if it's blue or red, right? So there's no way you don't see if it's a, if it's a black man or a white man. You're going to see, you're gonna be able to see, depending on the complexion of that black man's skin. Like, CRT recognizes that it is the systemic nature of racism that bears primary responsibility for reproducing racial inequities and inequalities, right? So, basically, in short story, the short version is racism is embedded in American society, right? Culture and from its root, from the root to the shoot, right? So, against CRT, critical race theory. Republicans are against the critical race theory. I guess the Democrats favor critical race theory. That doesn't make them looking out for folks, all right? Pay attention. Against it, they view it as a untrue ideology that only divides the country along racial lines and accentuates our differences rather than our commonalities, something extremely dangerous to the shared social fabric. Thus, Republicans are against teaching CRT in schools and favor law that ban materials like the 1619 Project from being used as part of the curriculum in public schools. Republicans note that critical race theory only promotes explicit racism by promoting racial guilt. This is to say that someone from a specific skin color should be guilty of something that they themselves didn't do, but rather that their race did in the past. So that means that white folks should be feel guilty of something that white folks, their ancestors, did in the past. Things they did in the past are the building blocks of what you see today. So one of the arguments against that, what was in the past, not just in the past, it's foundation for the future, right? So anyway, another common trait in CRT in school curriculums is to ask white students to renounce their whiteness. I don't know how you can do that or what that is. Renounce your whiteness. What's that all about? Specific targeting of certain race, insinuating something inherently wrong with being white. Okay? Furthermore, CRT scholars claim that everyone, but more specifically white Americans, have implicit biases responsible for possibly racist behavior a theory that has no basis in social science and only makes us hate one another. White Americans have implicit biases responsible for possibly racist behaviors, but they can't help themselves or something. CRT is not only bad for those wrongly accused of racism or guilt it gives white students, but it also has adverse effects on racial minorities. Now, being a so-called racial minority in this country, CRT has no more adverse effect on me than Roots and a Tarzan movie. Maybe there are some black folk that may feel CRT does have adverse effect. I'm thinking they are referring to developing low self-esteem, being angry or depressed. But it's racism that has had an adverse effect on folks, like enslaving, lynching, incarcerating, raping, torturing, denying education, taking your culture, your language, and your spiritual system and family members away. That has had a negative adverse effect on folk in this country. Analyzing and critiquing the mind of a racist having an adverse effect on black folk, that sounds like a stretch to me. You don't need thick skin to avoid being having an adverse effect from analyzing something. That's what you do. Hope so. I hope that many people are analyzing things. I'm talking about it, doing it in relationships, you're doing it in just about everything you do. While students could gain insight on race relationships and the history of race, white students could gain insight on race relations and the history of race and political agenda in America. Why racism was and or is perpetrated. So white students could gain insight into that. Maybe they already know. I don't know. You don't know. You gain something. It's information, right? So to discuss racism in America is not to denounce whiteness, but to become aware of who benefit from systemic racism and who was oppressed by systemic racism. There is no need to hate yourself or hate being white or feel guilty. There is a need to eradicate racism. Enough of the hate stuff. We're going to say CRT indoctrinates minorities into believing that they will always be victims. And also ascribes a high moral status to being a victim. I haven't really read anything in depth about CRT, but a high moral status to being a victim. I don't even get that. Which goes against the values of individualism on which this country has prospered. Hell, individualism means one, right? One is an individual. And this country has not prospered on individuals. Certain individuals have prospered on individualism. The country has prospered on the unity of individuals. That's how you have the Civil War. That's how you have the Indian Wars. That's how you have, these different parties that they have. The individual is a selfish concept. I'm just out for myself. What about my family, my wife, my kids, my community, my people? Individualism. I don't know about the. They say in the country it goes against the values of individualism. The individual is not more important than the group. It teaches minority students to see their peers through the lens of race and oppression politics rather than as fellow Americans or even friends. So if you're looking at history, you're going to look at whatever you're seeing. You're going to see, if you see, take what you will, if you read American history on the books, up to the 60s, you will see oppression politics. So I don't know. It's almost like they don't want them to see what's in front of them. My fellow Americans. And with fellow Americans, we have none of this tape Martin Luther King getting kicked in the behind, him and about 100 other people beat up by the cops and stuff like that when they march in peace. Just want to be treated as fellow Americans. You know, and hey, the George Floyd thing and all these different, you know, just injustice. So, pro-CRT. Most Democrats support critical race theory. It said, by realizing said inequities, proponents argue that one gains self-awareness of institutional, historical, and cultural racism, something which yields individual who cause positive change. That's good. That I kind of do too. That's what we need. The 1619 Project, originally a journal article, fundamental premise that America's founding was not in 1776 when the founding fathers signed the Declaration of Independence, but in 1619 when the first African slaves arrived. Proponents argue that CRT is a necessary addition to school curriculum since it can be used to dismantle systems of oppression. They note that students must see color to accept systemic racism and that the idea of a colorblind society is an ahistorical and unrealistic prospect which will never come past. So, you know, like I'm saying, like, that's, I hope that's a metaphor because you're always going to see what's in front of you. So, you know, you're not going to see color. That's crazy. I wouldn't trust a person to say, oh, I don't see you. I don't see you as a black man or Asian. You know, Asian or Latino standing in front of you. You know, or, you know, whatever. Ask him, whatever. Doesn't make sense. If you, it's obvious. I got a big fro. My skin is dark. You know, probably a black man. Don't tell me you don't think that I'm not white. I just couldn't trust you speaking. She believes, let me see, let's see, talked about this journalist, Nicole Hannah Jones, right? Desires to project a history more accurate than its predecessor. Well, the actual history, I think you can, there are places where you can get some real history. You want to get deep into the history of the United States. She believes that not incorporating the 1619 Project into the school's curriculum would be denying students a look at history and its ramifications in the present day. So you have to know where you've been to know where you're going, right? That's what they say, right? So it gives you a better, makes you more balanced in terms of moving forward, knowing where you've been, right? As of February 12, 2021, the 1619 Project has been implemented into the curriculum of 4,500 schools with the goal of educating students on America's dark skewed past. Woo! So if students have eyes, they will see color. And what people of color have been subjected to and by who? Well, let's not play with this thing, with these things about I don't see color and stuff. That's, they call it ahistorical, but come on now. See color, you know, it's all over the books. Call the Indian the red man, call the African the black man, they call it the Europeans the white man. Come on now, just don't play with that. We all see color. You don't have to hate color. Unless it's your enemy, then it, you know, you have to defend yourself. You don't have to hate. You walk around with your heart full. Not easy all the time. I get it. Moms for America. Critical race theory teaches our children to hate their country, neighbors, and themselves. Well, I don't see how you get that, because if what you want is to understand racism and eradicate it. Because I don't think critical race theory is trying to say, hate people. Saying that the people have these biases and they show up in the way they are gloss, or that they allow people rent a home, medical care, or how the police interact with particularly the people. This stuff is already documented. This is old stuff anyway. This is not even new stuff. Somebody practiced it, called it critical race theory, and maybe that's what's scaring people. I don't know. Maybe some things in here that I've just read that really scares some people. So it's a threat. Critical race theory isn't new. It's been injected into our societal thought behind closed doors for decades. It has held many labels: diversity training, black studies, to reconstructing curriculum. But the objective has always been the same. And though many people have penned the curriculum, there is only one author. So you can't solve a problem if you're going to deny the existence of a problem. So that's not a way to start to work on this problem. Apparently, we need to be sitting at the table working this thing out. Somebody feel we need to do that. Personally, I feel that folks just need to get their own institution and allow themselves to teach black children what they want them to know. Use your resources. You have them to help yourself, your people. All right? Most reason people recognize it for what it is. It's that what we don't understand is why of it all. Why would someone purposefully try to make freedom bad? Truth a lie and the American dream wrong. Why would someone want to convince people that they are either oppressed or an oppressor because of their gender or color? Woo, that's a show idea. I'm going to keep going. The program titled Reconstructing Curriculum is a program sponsored by Minnesota Humanities, which receives funding from Susie Buffett, Warren Buffett's daughter. The instructor, who they call Professor O, was a professor of black studies at the University of Nebraska, Omaha. Is that where Terrence Crawford is from? Anyway, his training consists of instructing the room full of teachers how to teach their students to recognize they are either racist or the victim of racism. The victim of racism meaning somebody has done something to you to put to have an adverse effect on you, right? Not a favorable impact, right? An unfavorable impact on you. They might be redlining. They might be, whatever they're doing, I think lately they took the voting district, pushed them around. They should have never been allowed to do that. I wonder if they remained the same. That should have never happened. Anyway, Professor O told the teachers that the world will always be white privileged because of all of our values, mores, culture are based on the moral judgments of white European heterosexual theocratic Christian men. Because of that, he said, we will always be a racist, sexist, homophobic culture, even though we don't realize it. Our schools have become a very dangerous place for our children. It has been reduced to a propaganda breeding ground where our children are taught that they are either oppressed or the oppressors. The left says, if you're black, you're told that you'll never succeed because white people won't let you. If you're a girl, you're told you'll never succeed because men will always hold you down. If you're a boy, you're a future rapist. And if you're a white man, you're a racist or rapist. That just sounds whack right there. I'm going to go ahead. That is a serious indictment. I say if the shoe fits, then wear it. If America has a history of systemically oppressing people, it has a history of oppressing people. If America continues to be racist and oppress people, that is what America is doing. No matter how many black presidents, senators, Congress people, and mayors there are. I said, is it any wonder our kids are depressed and suicide is on the rise, especially among teenage boys? We have stripped our youth of everything that gives them purpose and passion. Who's done that? Who's the we? We have stolen the American dream from them by telling them it doesn't exist and denied them the opportunity to succeed by telling them that they will always fail no matter how hard they try. For one, dreams are imaginary or things that happen in your mind. So dreams aren't reality. So they need to reframe that whole phrase about the American dream. Dreams are you try to make your dream come true. I guess that's what they're trying to say. But you don't have to dream. All you have to do is work toward a goal. Don't dream. Have a vision. That's why you awoke. Have your vision. Have goals and objectives to get to your vision. That's what you do. Right? So you don't have to dream. So the American dream, what is the American dream? I'm trying to figure that out because we do have poverty here. And for a long time, for black people, that American dream eluded us for many black people, even though some people were able to prosper, right? So, they're saying this is the very reason parents of all color are standing up against the nonsense threatening our children. Moms are showing up at the school board meetings and are starting mom support groups, holding rallies and launching parent meetings. They good. They should be there. They should have been there in the first place, really. Some places, they aren't showing up. Moms are realizing that this is a war for the hearts and minds of our children, but those trying to harm our children underestimated the powerful force of mothers defending their young. Truthfully and historically speaking, the Constitution in its original form is a racist, sexist, and classist document, right? I have no knowledge of black children being told that they cannot succeed, not in the places I've been. I've heard that the deck may be stacked against them, but they can succeed or improve their quality of life. Strangely enough, there does appear to be a war for the minds of our children because children become adults. Why not give them truth? Give them the truth and nothing but the truth and allow them to come to their own decision or conclusion. Stop crippling them. I know we're not talking about third graders. In 1789, when the Constitution went into effect, the states were given the power to set suffrage qualifications or decide who would have the right to vote. At that time, only white male property owners were allowed to vote. That's the Constitution of the United States. Only white property owners, the landowners, the rulers, right? The leaders, so-called leaders, right? From Carnegie.org. Well, in the early part of the 19th century, state legislators began to limit the property requirement for voting. The 15th Amendment to the United States Constitution, Voting Rights of 1870, right? That's what did that, right? Then we have archives.gov said, passed by Congress February 26, 1869, and ratified February 3rd, 1870, the 15th Amendment granted who? African American men the right to vote. 1870, right? Later, during the Reconstruction period following the Civil War, Congress passed the 15th Amendment to the Constitution was ensure that people could not be denied the right to vote. Later, during the Reconstruction period, following the Civil War, ensure that people could not be denied the vote because of their race. The amendment was ratified by the states in 1870. In the decades that followed, many states, particularly in the South, used a range of barriers such as poll taxes. You got to pay to vote. Literacy tests to deliberately reduce voting among African-American men. You had the right to vote, but we're going to stop you, right? So it's no secret that women did not have a right to vote until early in the 20th century. Women were still only able to vote in a handful of states. After decades of organizing and activism, women nationwide won the right to vote with the ratification of the 19th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution in 1920. So it's a grind because it seemed like it's white supremacy, first white male supremacy, right? And this was confusing to the women that these black men got the vote. I think I covered this on the feminism, that the black men got the vote before the white woman. That was an insult to them, right? And they had made a statement. 1960, southern states ramp up barriers to voting. 1960, y'all. This is after Reconstruction. You're not supposed to have no barriers. But that's after the Civil War. 1960, they ramping up barriers. So maybe they passed these laws, but they weren't being enforced. The struggle for equal voting rights came to a head in the 1960s as many states, particularly in the South, dug in on the politics, such as literacy tests, poll taxes, English language requirements, and more, aimed at suppressing the vote amongst people of color. The first march was brutally attacked. In March 1965, activists organized a protest from Selma, Alabama, to the state capital of Montgomery. Spotlight the issue of black voting rights, right? That's ML King, right, and his gang. America Evers enough, right? The first march was brutally attacked by police and others on a day that came to be known as Bloody Sunday. All right, so a second march was cut short, and a throng of thousands finally made it the journey, arriving in Montgomery on March 24th and drawing nationwide attention to the issue. So this thing right here about police brutality and nobody doing anything about it on film, right? That sound like a familiar thing that we hear right now. So you got to understand. So it would behoove folks to take a look at what's going on, because been going through this for a long time. This is 1960, and this thing been going on. Well, we had slavery, the Reconstruction, you know, just taking advantage, exploiting, murdering, beating black folk up, right, in this country. So can't get away from that. That's part of the history of this country, and it's explicitly the history of the black man in this country, because you enslaved us, our ancestors. You enslaved us, and then you still tried to enslave us after the so-called emancipation. The emancipation really didn't free anybody. It took the war to get you loose, and it took some a little more after that to get some other folks loose, right? But they still enslaved black men after that, putting them in front of the vagrancy laws, all these nonsense they put in place to get you locked up and tied down to the same plantation you need to get away from. Where are they going to go? If they're free, they don't have a job, they don't have a house. Only place they know is the plantation, right? So, then we got 1964, the 24th Amendment targets poll taxes, right? So, you know, as you can see, they targeted, hey, what you doing? You can't do that. They're citizens. Come on now. Get up off of them, right? Poll taxes were a particularly egregious form of voter suppression for a century, 100 years. 100 years. Come on now. 100 years following the Civil War, forcing people to pay money in order to vote. Kept it's designed to keep America, African Americans and low income white folk from vote. That's a show right there. Because some people think they're exempt because of the color of their skin. But here you go. They say, hey, they didn't even want low-income white folks voting. The reason why you're poor, just ain't always because you're not trying. That's what they're saying here about critical race theory. Not some of the conditions you've in, not always 100% you. Anyway, in a case, in a 1966 case, the Supreme Court ruled that poll taxes are unconstitutional in any U.S. election. What do you mean? What do it take? Why would it take the Supreme Court to do that when the law was already passed? Why would it take the Supreme Court to do that? They just said it's illegal. They ain't locked nobody up or nothing for doing it? Of course not, because it's happening to black folks. Something that we see nowadays, it's just, why does things happen to black folks? It's hard to get a conviction. It's hard to get somebody sentenced to some hard times. Stuff like that. I hear, what's that guy named? Killed George Floyd. I think he got 22 years for having his hands in his pocket, choking that man out with his knee while he's begging for his life. 22 years for first-degree murder. Violation of the trust of the people because he's a police officer. He should have got 22 life sentences. Like they give out all these life sentences to people who only have one life. They like to give them out life, double life sentence. I don't know what that's supposed to be about, but it's not impressive. The 1965 Voting Rights Act passes Congress. The Voting Rights Act included provisions that require state and local jurisdictions with a historical pattern of suppressing voting rights based on race to submit changes in their election laws to the U.S. Justice Department for approval. This is the documented. So this stuff is documented by this country, actually, in their laws. They have a historical pattern of suppressing, right? Suppressing, that's the same thing as oppressing, right? You suppress somebody's right to vote, you are oppressing them as a person, right? So. Then they had other things they had. In 1971, the young people win the vote. I think they the age was 21. I think they lowered it to 18. I think 18, you can go to war. So it don't make sense. You can't vote, but you can go get your head blown off. So makes no sense to me. I wasn't even aware of that in 1971. 1975, Voting Rights Act expanded to protect language minorities, right? So, you know, let's not forget that the Constitutional, from the ConstitutionalCenter.org, Article 1, Section 9, Clause 1, is one of a handful of provisions in the original Constitution related to slavery, though it does not use the word slave. This is when you get into the double talk right here. I call it double talk. Double talk. The clause prohibited the federal government from limiting the importation of persons understood at the time to mean primary enslaved African person, where the existing state or government saw fit to allow it until some 20 years after the Constitution took effect. It was a compromise between Southern states where slavery and was pivotal to the economy and states where the abolition of slavery had been accomplished or was contemplated. Now, that sounds good, but you can't get it twisted. You could get hung in the North, too. Get lynched in the North. Same as you get lynched in the South, which is so bad with it that black people had to get up out of there. Go North, see what's up there. At least they talking about we ain't going to be slaves. Let's go live with them white folks. And them white folks was, you know. You know, I'm not saying all white folks are bad. I'm just saying, but back then, they traveled and things happened. All right, so you got to understand that Jim Crow came from the north, not the south. That was a northern practice first, right? That's why it's good to go back in the past, study, review, analyze, and critique. That's what you do. Do your homework. You ain't got one day when you're sitting around before you do whatever thing you're going to do. Do some research. Read something. It's not going to hurt you. It's going to help you. The U.S. Constitution, Article 1, Section 2, the 3/5 clause. No, this is in the Constitution. So this is the roots of this country. Article 1, Section 2 of the Constitution of the United States declares that any person who was not free would be counted as 3/5 of a free individual for the purpose of determining congressional representation. So the 3/5 clause thus increased the political power of slaveholding states. So now you can count your slaves as 3/5 of a person. So that's what that did. That's a political move, right? Because they already had you as a slave. It doesn't even matter if he's calling you, consider you 3/5 of a man. He's calling you a property, which is less than that. Like, that's like a mule or something like that. The history of 3/5 compromise from thoughtcompany.com. But when the 14th Amendment was ratified in 1868, it officially repealed the 3/5 compromise. Section 2 of the amendment, seats in the House of Representatives were to be determined based on the whole number of persons in each state, excluding Indians not taxed. All right, so yes, there is a history of systemic racism in this country. Yes, there is a history of decisions being made based on the supremacy of the white folks who were in charge. So it is happening to be white folks in charge here. You know, you can't get around that. You cannot not see the color. Right? So all that is class, race, sex, and age discrimination that they were dealing with when they got to whatever point they were to deal with it, right? And it didn't just go away. 100 years that the poll tax for voting? That's crazy. That's like somebody just ignored that. So this is all class, race, sex, and age discrimination at the foundation of the Constitution. It was kind of like an evolving document, right? For the greater part of the existence of this country, it has at least been racist. I'm thinking that story is not being thoroughly expressed in the educational system before college. I'm thinking that people aren't really getting that kind of expression. Like, for more years, this country has been racist than supposedly not racist, right? I can see why people would be concerned about exposing children to the realities, trauma, and atrocities of slavery and racism. It could contain some very horrific graphic violence and sexual violence and exploitation that was perpetrated by white folks on black folks, right? So it would be, you know, you got to be careful who you, how you deliver it. And who you deliver this to, because if you're going to get into critical race theory, because if you're talking about everything that happened, all types of atrocities, it's, you know, you don't want to expose small children to that, right? Fact is, American history actually demonized white folks who demonized, abused, and exploited black folks. So it's American history that actually demonized white folks, because they're historically reporting that white folks were okay with this slave thing. They benefited from it. The whole country benefited from it. That's how the banks got to be fat. from the South. Cotton, I think they were the world producer of cotton. So slavery and banks go hand in hand, right? Because the business of owning people and forcing them to work and whatever nonsense they did with people helped create this country, made it the country that it is today. Anybody says that it didn't, they're just not telling the truth. So you can't grow from a lie. Plus, you can't get from point A to point B on a lie. Somebody tell you to go south to a destination that is north, you will never get there, right? But when you do get there, you would have traveled around the world. You understand? So, fact is, American history actually demonized white folks who demonized, abused, and exploited black folks. They almost exterminated indigenous people of North America with the aid of disease. It just doesn't support the American, the America, the beautiful, the melting pot, the land of opportunity, and the democracy narrative. It doesn't support that. White in this narrative is not right or doing right. Nobody wants to air their dirty laundry or their past transgressions, children, or the world. Nobody wants to be social, psychologically dissected, analyzed, and criticized for their past, their ancestors, or even their current atrocities and transgressions. That may result in rejection, shame, and criminalization and demonization of a historic past and present. It is not a mystery why people seek, maintain, and perpetuate their power. Power is a hell of a drug. Imagine being able to do almost anything you wanted to do on the backs of other people. Imagine being raised to believe that your so-called race is superior to another so-called race, and that attitude and ideology being perpetrated for centuries. As of 2023, we are about 59 years away from open legal segregation, oppression, and disenfranchisement, and that is saying it in a nice way. Hell, in 1981, Black Wall Street was destroyed and many black residents were murdered. And that's just one of the places that were destroyed. In 1985, the police bombed a house on a block in a black neighborhood in West Philadelphia. That was their way of getting back to nature group move to move. You don't drop bombs in communities just because somebody's held up in the house. That's not even worth dropping a bomb, explosive or instrument or anything like that. But those guys saw no wrong in it. And we had a black mayor at that time. So you're not protected because you have black officials. You're protected when you have people who are actually protecting you as a person, as a citizen, and as a human being. If you don't have that, you're not being protected. That's how that thing happened. That's how both of those things happened, and many things like that continue to happen in this country. That's how George Floyd happened. Same way. His life wasn't worth a dime, no matter how he cried out. From the Legal Defense Fund, right? They talked about the critical race theory as an academic and legal framework, which I talked about, that denotes the system of racism as a part of American society. From education, housing, to employment, health care, critical race theory recognizes that racism is more than the result of individual bias and prejudice. Look, it's real. Racism is real. We only have to play with that. Why are we even having a conversation about racism in this country? It's not that long ago since it was legally on the books. You can't legislate what's in a person's heart or his mind. You can only legislate how they all behave in society. So I could hate you, and I could discriminate against you in my position. So you don't understand, I can be a political, a politician and discriminate against you. I can be a city worker and discriminate against you. It's easy. And I think, I don't know, seeing the way that things are going, maybe some people of color are helping out, like them slave catchers. They send another slave to hunt, track you down. I don't know. So they said it's embedded in the laws and institutions that uphold and reproduce racial inequalities. It kind of explains why black people are at the top of the list of risk, high-risk life interactions. Let's put it that way. And, you know, police, everything. It's like health-wise and everything, you know. They said it over, you know, disproportionate exposure to police violence. Well, if you're not being protected and you being, they sending a guy, a man, human being, who's aggressive towards you, who has a low opinion of you, who doesn't like you or is afraid of you or all of the above, right? He's got a gun on him and he's got a bunch of other guys with a gun. He's coming in your community to ride herd over you, right? So that's a dangerous situation right there. If it's in your heart to be racist, you don't deserve to be a security guard anymore. Because if you hate black folks and you got a gun on you and you're in the black community, 9 times out of 10, first opportunity you get, you're going to kill one of them or two. You're going to at least shoot them. Because you're afraid. You think he's an animal. Or in your mind, you reduce him to the point that something that needs to be killed. Kill these ninjas. So, but that's not the case. And we know that black people do not have a monopoly of crime and murder. By a long shot. In this country, we have never taken over a country. We only fought. Originally afford to get our freedom. Now we, as a segment of us, is committing homicide, suicide, like a intergenerational suicide by homicide. Wow, we are killing ourselves. Talked about that a couple weeks ago. Common elements of recent legislation attacking CRT, critical race theory. So, it's under attack. And as I said, to remind you, I don't put the sex part on it, the sexual identity. I'm not including that in this conversation because I don't see where that fits with racism, racial intimidation, or anything like that. What sex, how you choose to have sex, if you think you are one thing or another. They have nothing to do with this problem that we have in this country. Right? So that's a separate issue, and it's very distinct, separate issue. And the common elements of recent legislation attacking the critical race theory. Bans on any discussion or teaching that the United States is inherently or fundamentally racist. Read the Constitution, y'all. And you can see that as far as the Constitution, you can see a little growth there. You see, hey, let them black men vote. No, don't stop them from voting. Let the women vote. Don't stop them from voting. Why y'all keep stopping them from voting? 100 years, I guess. You can see a progression there, right, to the point that they're able to get black mayors, and they just had Obama in the White House for 8 years. I don't know who he's representing. I don't hear him. I didn't hear the brother representing us speaking out in behalf of, not speaking out. We don't need people talking in politics. We need people if you're talking, you're walking the walk, that means you're doing something. If you ain't doing nothing, you're just giving us lip service. Stay at home. Get a regular job. We don't need you. Black or white. Any color, green, whatever. We don't need you in politics if you're not actually doing something. If you're afraid, don't go. Because the expectation should be that if you're in politics and you got our vote, you doing something for us. What is it that these politicians are doing for us? Democrats, Republicans, black, white, yellow, brown, that they say. What's in it for me? You need to start asking that question. Right? It bans legislators have deemed divisive concepts, including white supremacy, male privilege, unconscious or explicit bias system of racism. However, the bans lack context, definitions, or examples on the way they are being taught. So it's not clear. But you can bet if you use anything saying these words right here where they have bans, you might be in trouble as an educator. Requirements to teach without giving difference to anyone's perspective and provide a counter-narrative or opposing view of anything being taught. You can't provide a counter-narrative to anything being taught. So what are we trying to – so they're not trying to generate thought, intelligence, or anything like that. They're trying to indoctrinate people, right? That's what that means. Ban discussions of systemic racism, sexism that would discriminate, hurt feelings, or make someone feel guilty about their skin color. That sounds like another theme that I'm hearing with the LGBTQ about they're making laws based on people's feelings being hurt. That's ridiculous. Your feelings could be hurt over of many things. Somebody might say, this is a racist country. The Constitution of the United States is a racist document. From in its concept, original concept, in its concept, the root of its concept, that may hurt some white folks. I mean, what, boy? They might not like that. They may be offended by that, but it's true. So you don't go by people's feelings, anything. Like, nobody's trying to hurt anybody's feelings. If it's the truth, it's the truth. And if your feelings get hurt, suck it up. Go somewhere and go in the bathroom and cry. Come back. Deal with it. Get on with your life. Drafted limits on funding cuts for anti-bias trainings and diversity and inclusion initiatives for students and teachers. So that teaching people about biases and things they might be doing. Can't believe people don't recognize their biases. Provisions allowing the state to withhold funding for schools that violate the ban. So your school ain't going to get no money. You got a teacher in here teaching critical race theory. Y'all going to lose $50,000 for that. Bam. Y'all can get this money, this whatever water money they got slated for them, right? So all that's political blackmail right there. So, and, you know. Are we raising intellectual people, or do we just want people to do what, not we, but do they just want people to do what they tell them to do, know what they tell them to know, and they don't want thinkers at all, because you have to look at a ball, you have to turn it around, you look at it in different directions, saying. All the different views of a ball. You want to look at the whole ball. You don't want to look at a sphere on one side. You want to look at the whole thing. You want to examine a person. You want to examine the whole body, right? You want to look everywhere, right? Sole of his feet, top of his head, right? Chest and back. So that's a good doctor. One is actually interested in what he's looking at in front of him. But seems like these guys just want robots. dreamers, not people with vision, goals, and objectives. Recent efforts to ban racial justice discourse are part of a long American history of backlash and response to demands for educational equity. Laws banning racial justice discourse are attacks on all students' right to fair, full, and truthful education about their country and their communities. Members of school boards must use their influence to resist bans on truth and defend the rights of teachers and students to discuss race in a classroom setting. Local elections have the power to shape the future of your school district. What is going on here? Because we have all these culture wars. You got the LGBTQ. Now we got this thing about really American history. You cannot tell American history without telling the history of blacks in America, which unfortunately starts with bringing these black folks in these ships over here as slaves, as property, treating them bad, Civil War, treating them bad, trying to enslave them again, lynching them, burning up their cities, putting cities or towns underwater and all kinds of nonsense, right? Telling them that, you know, treating them like they really are nothing. Treating your dog better than you treat a black. They say something about Trump. Trump had an executive order on combating race and sex stereotyping, issued in September 2020, became the blueprint for states to craft their own bans on the truth. So I didn't know Trump did that. Many of the same vague, divisive concepts banned in the executive order reappear in current state legislation. Many state laws also include provisions that establish financial penalties for noncompliance and threaten to cut state funding for schools if they disobey. You know what? And so, as they say on the, used to say on the streets a long time ago, money talks. Everything else walks, because this is a capitalist society, and you know, people will do almost anything for money. Sometimes they do it for survival reasons. But that's how important money is. Somebody threatens your funding, persuades you or coerces them to listen, to do what you want them to do, what they want you to do. So, and I'm just going to reiterate what I said in the beginning. For black folks, if you want your black people to participate in any kind of intellectual conversation about racism in America, let's say critical race theory, call it that or whatever, black studies, whatever, provide that. Give that to them in your homes, in your communities, and in your schools. And as I said in the beginning, build your own schools. Stop asking people for stuff that you really could do yourself as a group of people. This is not rocket science. But it seems harder than rocket science for us to come together and see, all right, we need to work together. Come on, all this money that we have, you think the slaves had that? What was the guy's name? Nat Turner. He could read. He read the Bible, and they had him going around reading to the slaves, basically to calm them down. Use the Bible to calm them down. So you reading that Bible about the Israelites in there. They up rumbling. So I don't know what all this calm me down, why somebody put their foot on your neck stuff is coming from. But read the Bible. That's one of the most violent books you want to read. And Israelites was rumbling the whole time. David killed Goliath. They say, so that's a message in that. David was a very young man, killed one of the greatest warriors of the enemies of Israel. So some message in that. You don't have to be afraid. Or if you are afraid, it doesn't have to stop you from trying. Because if you are so afraid that you won't try, then you will remain in a situation. So I'm just talking about educating your own people. You know what I'm saying? Seeing that happening in Masjid, that's going on. You have some, I think you have some Christian churches, because they're Afrocentric, and they are educating their people. Not candy coating history, because it doesn't help to do that. Not teaching hate, because it's not going to help you walk around hateful. That's bad for your health. Cortisone levels. With all that bad stuff going on in your body, help promote disease. So we don't need to walk around with hate in us anyway. So, but we always need to be able to defend ourselves. And the way to defend ourselves is not always with a gun or knocking somebody in the head. Sometimes you have to mentally defend yourself. You have to use your brain, actually, as a shield, as a weapon against a lot of the things that we come up against. The Bible is talking about we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but with principalities, right? And get the rest of high places or something like that. Anyways, you got to understand, a war is not just a war of a clash. The war is a mental, spiritual war. You need to get up on out, you know, can't do it when you're high. But you're not functioning at your highest level when you are intoxicated. You need to wake up, people. So basically, regarding all these laws they're trying to pass, it'd be very difficult to teach anything about American history. Think about it. Truthfully, I mean, I guess you could do the black people were slaves, slaves were freed, and then they lived happily ever after. You could teach that. That's not going to give a real description of what happened with black people in this country up until this date, because we still have problems. And it's documented by people who are sociologists, criminologists, things like that. They're not necessarily black either, all of them. Documented, you know, things going on here. It's not a secret. So they had this, you know, a lot of things is going on with the law. They had talking about the National Fair Housing Alliance versus Trump, former President Trump executive order on combating race and sex stereotyping, issued in September 20, became the blueprint for states to craft their own bans on the truth. I did not know that about Trump. Somebody must have wrote that for me. Huh? I don't know. Many of the same devices, concepts reappear in the legislation and the rally cries against critical race theory. What are they afraid of taking a critical look at race and theory behind it? What is the problem there? As I just read previously, they basically said it promotes country. Now, we're already divided. Maybe if we have an better understanding about what has happened in this country, we may can get, you know, to the next phase, point A to point B. But we're not going to get anywhere this denying it, being in denial and just blaming people for demonizing people. But they're not really demons. They're just talking about demons, demonic occurrences that happen in this country. The African American Policy Forum launched the Truth Be Told campaign to document the impact and damage caused by the executive order. The campaign underscores the need for deeper engagement on an examination of issues of race, gender, intersectionality, and injustice. Injustice. Well, I guess it's injustice. Should be injustice, right? Anyway. So, from edweek.org, discussions of racism will be limited, they said, right? Based on that law, right? The laws proposed in most of the states prohibit anyone from making a student at school feel discomfort, guilt, anguish, or any form of psychological distress on account of his or her race or sex. I thought that was strange. If this is law, then I guess they will not be teaching any American history at all, right? Even the soft version of American history can be perceived as offensive or cause a student to feel discomfort, guilt, anguish, or any form of psychological distress. What if a student feels discomfort, guilt, anguish, or any form of psychological distress in math, English, social studies, science, reading, or gym class, or school itself because of their race? It appears to be the mode of operation. Mode is to perpetuate the feelings, ideology, fears of adults in a claim to be in the defense of children, right? So it appears that the mode of operation is to perpetuate the feelings, ideology, fears of adults in a claim to be in defense of children to achieve a particular goal regardless of the truth. Once legislation is generated supporting these feelings, ideology, and fears, it becomes law or fact of law. And a simple thing like speaking the truth, facts in school become a criminal offense, punishable. In short, no race shaming allowed, no matter how truthful the information. This implies that someone is ashamed, embarrassed by the ugly truth, and wants to spare their youth the same shame and embarrassment. And you think that black people are proud to be slaves in this country, but they say it all the time. We descendants of slaves. Think that's proud of that? Nothing to be proud of. I heard if you can't talk about it, you haven't moved on. So if you get this issue of racism in America, if we can't talk about it, that's a sign that somebody hasn't moved on. Could be that. I guess little German Jewish children are forced to feel discomfort, guilt, anguish, or any other form of psychological distress on account of his or her race, or do they pretend Adolf Hitler, the Nazis, concentration camps, forced experiments, rape, mass murder, and World War II never happened? From Wikipedia, the Holocaust was the genocide of European Jews during World War II between 1941 and 1945. Nazi Germany and its collaborators systematically murdered some 6 million Jews across Germany, occupied Europe, around two-thirds of Europe's Jewish population, right? From PBS.org, Holocaust Education in Germany, an interview. Teaching the subject of the Holocaust and the Nazi era is mandatory in German schools. And in addition to the classroom curriculum, students have either visited the concentration camp or a Holocaust Memorial Museum. So it's not illegal. Some of the limitations on is how deep the education goes and how many young Germans it reaches. This interview was conducted in May 19, 2005. So, they said there are students who want to learn about this. There are students who many students, even when they're pursuing higher education, don't even hear about the Holocaust until the 10th grade, they said, right? There are those students in the classroom who are more committed to learning about the Holocaust. There are a fair amount of students who are more strongly opposed to Holocaust remembrance than previous generations. They seek a normal German national identity and feel the Holocaust is too much of a burden, not an important part of German history, and that it has been overrepresented in the media and public discourse. The Jews would definitely argue with that, right? They tend to reject the post-conventional moral understanding of history and identify identity which reflects the Holocaust. This unprecedented crime and genocide is indeed a part of German collective self-identity and self-image, and it needs to be, because you can neither rewrite history nor escape the fact that you are shaped by your social and cultural background. So the Germans are seen to be a little ahead of the game. And I don't know if it's because it's not black folks or not. I don't know. But it's not prohibited to teach German children about the atrocities of Germany in World War II. Some are eager to learn, and some would like to move on from the Holocaust and feel it is too much of a burden. Germans are left to decide if they want to pursue the history of the Holocaust. I suspect that there are some white Americans who feel the same way, maybe even some black people, right, about the horrors and benefits of slavery. As I stated, it doesn't go with the America the Beautiful scenario. I wonder if they learn about the atrocities of Germany and Africa. That's another story. I'm not going to get into that Leopold killing up the African people there. So this law seems like we're headed for a state of dictatorship when you are criminalized for speaking the truth. Maybe that is the ultimate goal, to have ultimate control. Nothing else makes sense. What happened to our First Amendment right, free speech? Does that take a backseat to hurting someone's feelings? Someone feeling uncomfortable? Someone feels discomfort, guilt, anguish, or any other form of psychological stress, distress? They say the truth will set you free, but in a dictatorship, the truth will get you locked up. You'll lose funding. Knowledge is power. Power is the ability to do, influence, change something. Change is revolution, and revolution is change. Revolution requires that what is on top ceases to be on top. Revolution, from Webster's dictionary, says revolution applies to the successful rebellion resulting in major change, as in government. A political revolution that toppled the monarchy. Uprisings implies a brief, limited, and often immediately ineffective rebellion. That's an uprising. You don't want that, right? Something is wrong with this picture. Where the law against a child, where's the law against a child being impoverished, poorly nourished? And when I say poorly nourished, I mean subjected to foods that put their health at risk. What about vaccine safety and environmental safety? What is going on here? They're so worried about kids. Why aren't they worried about these things right here, things that actually make children sick, that impact on their lives every day? You don't want them to think critical race theory is an intellectual conversation, analyzation about racism in America. That is what you should be doing with everything that you come in contact with, having an intellectual conversation about it. It makes no sense to me. I'm running out of time. But seem to be the trend now. If you hurt somebody's feelings and make somebody feel uncomfortable, oh, we're going to get rid of it. We're going to do away with that. We're going to create laws to protect someone. You cannot protect people's feelings. What are you going to do, get rid of the history books because people are offended that slavery was in this country? That they this country up until the 60s, the mid-60s, was on paper practicing racism, oppression, discrimination, disenfranchising of black people. If you want to change something, you want to make people feel better about themselves, do better. That's what you do. You know, you don't try to erase the past or anything like that. So I'm running out of time. Anyway, I just want to thank Blog Talk Radio, We Talk Productions, all my callers and listeners. You know, got on the soapbox a little bit tonight, but you know, putting that back. I want to thank everybody. You can download it. You can check the show out on, as I said, We Talk Productions on Blog Talk. Any show you want, you can check it out. And until next week, y'all, each one reach one, each one teach one. Remember, together we stand, divided we fall. Okay, so until next week, y'all, peace out.
Not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruption. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on Deport from 29 districts. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.